Well, but leaving his land out of the question, do you like him? Is he liked for himself?
I have no cause to do otherwise than like him, and I believe he is considered a just and liberal landlord by his tenants, but he's never lived much amongst them.
But he has no peculiarities. What, in short, is his character?
Oh, his character is unimpeachable, I suppose. He's rather peculiar, perhaps. He's travelled a great deal and seen a great deal of the world, I should think. I dare say he's clever, but I never had much conversation with him.
In what way is he peculiar?
I don't know. It is not easy to describe. Nothing striking, but you feel it when he speaks to you. You cannot be always sure whether he is in jest or earnest, whether he is pleased or the contrary. You don't thoroughly understand him, in short. At least I don't. But that is of no consequence. He's a very good master.
This was all the account I got from Mrs. Fairfax of her employer and mine. There are people who seem to have no notion of sketching a character, or observing and describing salient points, either in persons or things. The good lady evidently belonged to this class. My queries puzzled, but did not draw her out. Mr. Rochester was Mr. Rochester in her eyes. A gentleman, a landed proprietor, nothing more. She inquired and searched no further, and evidently wondered at my wish to gain a more definite notion of his identity. When we left the dining-room, she proposed to show me over the rest of the house, and I followed her upstairs and downstairs, admiring as I went, for all was well arranged and handsome. The large front chambers I thought especially grand, and some of the third-story rooms, though dark and low, were interesting from their air of antiquity. The furniture once appropriated to the lower apartments had from time to time been removed here as fashions changed, and the imperfect light entering by their narrow casements showed bedsteads of 100 years old, chests in oak or walnut, looking with their strange carvings of palm branches and cherubs' heads like types of the Hebrew ark. Rows of venerable chairs, high-backed and narrow, stools still more antiquated, on whose cushioned tops were yet apparent traces of half-effaced embroideries, wrought by fingers that for 2 generations had been coffin dust. All these relics gave to the third story of Thornfield Hall the aspect of a home of the past, a shrine of memory.